TV.
TGIM. I'm not even kidding about that. Thank God it's Monday and we get to be together again. I look forward to Sunday afternoon when I can sit down again after 2 days of not doing this and speak to you. I do need the days off. I've been concentrated on writing, so I'm not doing nothing during the days when I'm not broadcasting. I've been working on books. They're going to be coming out soon. You're going to love them. But I love, by the time the 2 days are up, I'm just chomping at the bit, ready to go, ready to get at it. So welcome to MZTV. This is Martin Zender. Love being with you, and I'm so thankful you're here. Never take you for granted. Never, never do I take you for granted or this job. So I want to talk again about our religious loved ones who will wonder what happened. These are those folks who are convinced that they are God's best friends. They are the people. Wisdom dies with them. They're in the Christian religion. You're a weirdo. You're a freak. You're a deceiver. Worse yet, you're a deceiver. And me, worse yet, I'm a false prophet, you see. I'm a cult leader. All you poor people following the teachings that I put forth, I almost called them my teachings, but they're not. They're the teachings of the Apostle Paul in his 13 letters. That's where we get our information. These are our marching orders, the marching orders of the body of Christ. And they're not even orders. They just explain to us all the blessings that we have. But these Christians, on the other hand, they're under orders. They're under pressure, great stress, and they are fumbling and bumbling their way through. They don't have anything right. They talk about grace. They don't know what it is. They're trying to still follow the Ten Commandments, even though the scripture has shown over and over again that it was a dispensation of condemnation and death. It doesn't deter them at all, sadly. And on Friday, the topic was what happens to them during the tribulation. Now, I'm going to go, where did I go? I went to Ezekiel 36. When Ezekiel prophesies concerning the new covenant, and I said that even though these people are left behind, they will yet be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, called the new covenant. And many of them will be changed. They need changed. They'll go from having everything wrong to getting everything right instantly. Isaiah 66:8, shall a nation be born in one day? Rhetorical question, answer yes. But now in Ezekiel 37, I'm going to show you details about how this happens. I mean, we just kept going deeper and deeper on Friday. First showing you from Matthew that it happens, then showing you in Ezekiel how it happens. Or show it, I should say, happening. Now we're going to open a subcategory, open a subfolder here, and look at detail. God wants us to know the details concerning our loved ones, the religious ones. So, you've heard me teach on this before, but I have new insight into this that's pretty exciting. It's freaking amazing, actually. I can hardly hold it back. I want to get right to it. It's Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. But first, I'm going to get right to it. But first, no, this is part of it. This is part of it. Don't worry. This is part of it. You need a little bit of a history lesson about the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. Remember, I told you Israel was split into two kingdoms following the reign of Solomon. The reign of Solomon was the heyday for Israel. I want you to look at this map. So after the reign of Solomon, the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were split into two distinct political entities. These emerged after the united monarchy of ancient Israel following the death of Solomon. He had the audacity to die. Everything got screwed up after that. This was around 931 BC. The primary reason for this split, it was a civil war, but it wasn't really a war because nobody fought. They just decided we're going to split off. It was a secession, basically. And it was due to the northern tribes discontent with King Solomon's son. They didn't like the taxes under Solomon. Rehoboam made it worse. 10 northern tribes split. Now, the southern kingdom became known as the House of Judah or the Kingdom of Judah. The southern kingdom was formed by the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. The southern tribes, their capital was, good for them, Jerusalem. That was the standard capital. So they really had the traditional kingdom. The northern kingdom of Israel, their capital, you can see it on the map, was Samaria. Sometimes in scripture, they're referred to as Samaria. They are called Samaria as a figure of association. Again, that's their capital. Well, here's what happened with those northern tribes. 10 tribes up there. 2 tribes, Judah and Benjamin, down south. The Assyrians, you can see up in the top left, top right there, the Assyrian Empire. Ooh, awful close to the northern tribes, the Assyrians. This happened around 722 BC. They conquered the northern tribes of Israel. They conquered the house of Israel. And they scattered the 10 tribes that revolted under the leadership of Rehoboam. I forgot to tell you this. They appointed their own king, Jeroboam. And I guess they would march, Rehoboam never, Jeroboam forever. That's what I would have done if I'd have been a northerner. But if you read the account of this split, you'll see that this was completely, totally according to God's intention, his will and his intention. He wanted this to happen. He said, don't worry. Basically, this thing is of me.
But the word of Yahweh came to Shemaiah, to the man of Elohim, saying, speak to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people, saying, thus speaks Yahweh, you shall neither go up nor fight against your brothers, the sons of Israel. Return, each man to his house, for it was from me that this thing has come about. 1 Kings 12:22-24.
When the northern tribes were conquered by the Assyrians in 722, they scattered. So Amos 9:9 said, I will scatter the house of Israel among all the nations of the earth, and yet birds of a feather do flock together. And the majority of them went to the north and to the west. They settled Europe. They became Europeans. They lost their national identity. I'm going to give you more about this tomorrow. I mean, we're going to get into some really, and it's even more detailed tomorrow. I'm just going to keep diving down into this to help you understand what's going to happen in the tribulation, during the tribulation. We think it's just going to be, sometimes we think of it as just a time of mass destruction, wrecking the earth's religion and politics, making way for God's religion and politics, and it is, but don't think that God is going to inaugurate the thousand-year kingdom from scratch with nobody to start ruling and reigning. We know this is not true via unveiling chapter 7. We know because of the 144,000 and the vast throng. Where do these people come from? Mainly, they're coming from the house of Israel. Not exclusively, as you're going to see tomorrow, not exclusively. We're talking about 10 tribes here. Now, there was still a remnant of other tribesmen in the southern kingdom, but I'm just saying primarily Benjamin and Judah. You had to have Judah down there in Jerusalem. Man, how do you even dream of having a kingdom in they had an alternate temple, alternate service? And God approved of it, but in Samaria, my God. Where do you worship? Samaria. That's why the Samaritans were so hated in Jesus' day. Because they were the rebels. They were the secessionists. They were like the South in the Civil War. They probably had their own flag and everything. They were just like a bunch of rednecks. That's it. The northern tribes were the rednecks of the 7th century B.C. I like that analogy. the kingdom of Judah, what's your capital? Jerusalem. Where in Jerusalem? We have the priesthood. Well, of course you do. What about the northerns? Ah, those secessionist rebels, rednecks. Now, the kingdom of Judah was also taken into captivity later, but the difference is we know that they were exiled to Babylon for only 70 years, and they returned to the land. But the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, the house of Israel, Samaria, so-called, they never returned to the land. They were captured by the Assyrians and never returned. And this is where we get the phrase, the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Lost. Where are they? They're not lost. You will find them wherever you see the characteristics of Israel. Again, I said it. I've been saying it for years. Self-righteousness, form of devoutness, but denying the power, lording it over others, free will, seeking to establish their own righteousness, God for gain. Oh, the whole thing, the whole bit. That's where you find the lost 10 tribes of Israel. Do these descriptions remind you of anyone? Okay. Now we're going to go to Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of Yahweh came on me. He brought me forth by the Spirit of Yahweh. This is Ezekiel speaking, writing, and stopped me in the midst of a valley. It was full of bones. He made me pass through them all around, and behold, they were exceedingly many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. Now, the question is, when is this happening? I believe it is happening after the snatching away, during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And it is a people who have lost their expectation, lost their way. Because ladies and gentlemen, think of this. The tribulation will have started. And it will be known that the tribulation is here. And the mark of the beast will be coming on the scene. We will be gone. But there are going to be billions of people saying, what the hell happened? What happened to the rapture? What they will not realize is that 3.5 years or 4 years before that, the rapture occurred. But there were so few living members of the body of Christ that there was not a ripple upon the earth. And you know this. Forget the left behind scenario of millions and millions of people going away. No, no, no. That's the Christian scenario. And oddly enough, it is also the concordant publishing concern scenario. It is absolutely outrageous. It absolutely will not be that. Or else everyone with a metal fish applique on his or her car is a member of the body of Christ. Okay. Everyone who goes to church is a member of the body of Christ. Yeah. Okay. We know that's not true. Absolutely ridiculous. And so these people are going to realize that, holy shit, we are in the tribulation, and they're going to be devastated, devastated. And they are going to be dry. They are going to be done. The love of many will wax cold. What have we worshiped God all these years for? And some of them who know you will realize that you're not here anymore. And they're going to put two and two together. And they're going to realize, holy crap, Joe was right. Or Alice was right. My sister was right. My dad was right. My son was right. They were in the body of Christ. I never was. I didn't believe it. I didn't understand Paul. They tried to explain Paul to me. I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian. I thought it was the thing to be. They sent me some of Martin Zender's videos when he's railing against Christians. I could never understand it. I hated that guy. He was amusing at times, but the things he said about Christians, my God. But he was right. He made me pass through the valley full of bones. These people are going to feel dead. They will feel lost. They will feel abandoned by Christ himself. And behold, they were very dry. He said to me, son of humanity, shall these bones live? And I answered, my Lord Yahweh, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and you will say to them, dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. Thus says my Lord Yahweh to these bones, behold, I will bring spirit into you. That was back in chapter 36. I will bring spirit into you and you will live. I will bestow sinews on you and bring your flesh upon you and encase you with skin. I will bestow spirit in you and you will live. Then you will know. Then you will know that I am Yahweh. They sure as hell don't know now. I want to go down to verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel, who hitherto have been saying, our bones are dry. This is the house of Israel, the northern tribes that were scattered after the Assyrian captivity. The Assyrians took them captive, then the Assyrians got busy taking over the world, and they left the door unlocked. And these people wandered to the north and to the west, who hitherto have been saying, our bones are dry and our expectation has perished. They will say this during the tribulation. We have gotten ourselves severed. Yeah, you sure as hell have. They're going to see it relatively. This is a relative statement. Yes, we have gotten ourselves severed. But we know this is of God. They're just now finding it out. Therefore, prophecy, and you will say to them, thus says my Lord Yahweh, behold, I will open your tombs. I will bring you up from your tombs. These aren't literal tombs. Because they aren't literal bones. I mean, Ezekiel sees literal bones, but there aren't going to be literal bones being put together, jangling around in a valley. No, because this is a metaphor. Yahweh explains it to Ezekiel. Son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel. That's the metaphor. Then you will know that I am Yahweh when I open your tombs, when I bring you up from your tombs. My people, I will bestow my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you on your own ground. Then you will know that I, Yahweh, have spoken and I will do it. Averring is Yahweh. Let's go to verse 7. Back up to verse 7. So I prophesied just as I was instructed. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. Oh, I love this. I really love this. And behold, a quaking. This is the revival they've all been waiting for. But every effort at revival has been a cartoon, has been a front of falsity, a sham. This is what they're all trying to play. They've been playing church. They've been playing revival. Sticks and stones, tinker toys. This is the real deal. So I prophesied just as I was instructed. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a quaking. That's the word. I love that. And the bones drew near, each bone to its next bone. As I watched, behold, sinews appeared on them. And flesh came up and skin encased them overall. Yet there was no spirit in them. Isn't that the truth? Then he said to me, prophesy to the spirit, prophesy, son of humanity. And you will say to the spirit, thus says my Lord Yahweh, come from the four winds, O spirit, and blow into these who were killed so that they might live. They weren't literally killed. These aren't literal bones. It's not a literal valley. It's not literally coming up from the tombs, but they are killed. And in that, their expectation had been destroyed when they realized that the tribulation is upon them. And their friends or their relatives who tried to talk to him are gone. And I thought of an analogy as I'm preparing for this show. I thought of Peter in John chapter 18, who denied Christ three times. And we know what happened. When he realized what he had done, he wept bitterly. Wept bitterly. Was that the end of Peter? These people, when they realize what has happened, that the tribulation is here, they're in it. No more rapture for you people. Sorry, no more rapture. That was for the body of Christ. That was for people who believed that Jesus Christ died, actually died. That was for people who believed that Jesus Christ saved them by his will and his death, not by your will. That was for those people. You weren't of those people. You didn't believe it. You weren't meant to. So here you are. And you're devastated now. But And they're going to realize, we denied you, oh Lord. We denied you. But like Peter, they will be restored. In John 21, John chapter 21, three chapters later, we know what happened. Jesus is raised from the dead and he restores Peter. Peter was devastated. But the Lord said to him, by various means, you're still my guy. I love you. Yeah, you screwed up bad, but it's going to be a rich part of your history now. Here we go. And this. How many times have I read this verse? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone saying to me, Lord, Lord, will be entering into the kingdom of the heavens, but he was doing the will of my Father who is in the heavens. Many will be declaring to me in that day. And I believe I have new insight into when that day is. I'm looking, especially now, like I've never looked before, at the word in. Many will be declaring to me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name do so many powerful deeds? And then shall I be avowing to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. And every time I've read this verse, I've stopped here. And I thought, these poor people who were convinced that they were God's people, convinced they were the best friends God ever had, come to find out they were actually enemies of the cross, as we know they are, denying their own Savior, as we know they do. And we know that Jesus Christ will say to them, I never knew you, depart from me. And he will say that to them, and they will be devastated, just as Peter was devastated. But I now see this as the crisis of the Valley of Dry Bones. I see this happening during the tribulation, in that day. Many will be declaring to me in that day. I picture this before as, I don't know, after the kingdom or when Christ returns. I think that's where I picture this happening, when Christ returns to the Mount of Olives. And they will say to him, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Depart from me. And then they go into the outer darkness and they're weeping and gnashing their teeth on the four corners of the earth. But I never really thought it through, but that's in my back of my mind. That's where I'm thinking they went next. They survived into the thousand-year kingdom, but as mortals, and they're living on the four corners of the earth out there with Gog and Magog. I don't see it that way now. I don't see it that way now. After the Lord says, depart from me, workers of lawlessness, then the rattling of the bones begins to come together. They're going to be devastated. Can you imagine how devastated they will be? And I'm not saying Jesus Christ. See, I used to think Jesus Christ had to appear personally for this thing to happen. But it just says, many will be saying to me in that day, Lord, Lord. Are they saying it to him in person? I don't think so now. I think they're saying it out of desperation because they find out they've been left behind. What an irony. The people who made the movie Left Behind, the guys who wrote the movie Left Behind, they're going to be left behind. What a terrible irony. Why wouldn't they say, Lord, Lord, didn't we write this book in your name? Didn't we start this church in your name? Didn't we get 1,000 people baptized in your name? Oh, I never knew you. I never knew you. Didn't we cast out demons, have great revivals? Oh, that wasn't a revival. That was a Tinker Toy experiment. I never knew you. Depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. Oh, that's bitter. That's brutal. And I see it now as this. He made me pass through the valley. It was full of bones. He made me pass through all around. And behold, there were exceedingly many on the surface. And behold, they were very dry. Done. Dead. Having denied their Lord, no more expectation. And he said to me, son of humanity, shall these bones live? Sure as hell doesn't look like it. But you know, Lord, so you tell me. Prophesy over these bones. And you will say to them, dry bones, hear the word of Yahweh. And for the first time in their lives, they will hear a true word of Yahweh. Behold, I will bring spirit into you, and you will live. I will bestow sinews on you and bring up flesh upon you and encase you with skin. So I prophesied just as I was instructed, verse 7. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a quaking. And this is it. This is the new covenant. This is a new covenant. This is the real quaking, the real revival. And then Ezekiel prophesies to the Spirit. And the Spirit comes from the four winds and it blows into these who were killed. Killed in spirit, killed in expectation, killed in joy, killed in everything. Everything they thought they had, they have nothing. They're naked. If being killed is not a metaphor for that, I don't know what is. It's a perfect metaphor. But the same God, the same Christ who restored the weeping Peter will restore these people weeping at the realization that they have betrayed Christ. But the Spirit will come into them. Verse 10, when I prophesied as he had instructed me, the Spirit came into them and they lived and stood on their feet, a most exceedingly great assembly. Unveiling 7, the 144,000, the vast throng, especially a great assembly. And again, verse 11, son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. How can it be any plainer than that? And go back to the history lesson at the beginning of this video. The northern tribes went into captivity. Compliments of the Assyrian army. And they were scattered. Amos 9:9. But we know where they are because of their characteristics, because of what they do. Because they imitate their forefathers. And they kill the prophets. That is, they abuse those sent to her just like their fathers did. They abuse us. They don't want to hear it. They call us liars. They say we have a demon, just like Israel said to Christ in the day. Then he said to me, son of humanity, these bones are the whole house of Israel, who hitherto have been saying our bones are dry. Our expectation has perished. We've gotten ourselves severed. But God says, not so fast. I'm going to bring you out of your tombs. And it is with this assembly that he will people the coming kingdom.